shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Okay, we are not connected to Ted's?
Not just yet.
All right. I thought I heard Ted just very briefly there, and perhaps if we get the line going, we can... Ted Bell. Ted, are you there?
I thought I was on your air there for a moment, but someone turned the radio up, and they said they just heard me... They said they heard some sound.
Yeah, we had you very briefly, but the line was not yet fully connected. I apologize.
Well, all right. And I'm saying this. I know that we're on the air right now, correct?
Yes, we are.
All right. Well, I'm saying this on the air, but that will make the fourth consecutive appearance I've been on your program that I have been brought on in a way that...
I apologize, Ted. It's a technical mishap. They do happen.
Yeah, but that's the fourth consecutive time that I've been brought on your program that that's happened.
I understand that. I apologize. We will work and make every effort in the future.
Well, hold on for a minute, because this will interest your listeners. What you're giving me there, Phil, is what we call in my business, we call that the straw hat. And what the straw hat is when you say to a customer, I'm very sorry, we'll make every effort. And you really know in your deep in your heart, you're not going to make every effort. You're not really going to change much of anything. You're just going to keep doing what you do. You just made that one mistake. But you're not going to make every effort. So you're giving me what we call a straw hat. And
the straw... No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I knew that you were... let me tell you exactly what happened.
Please.
We knew that you were going to be on the show tonight, but we decided, as you know, when Bud called you, to shift you to the first hour. We're going to have Margaret Gray on the second hour talking about sanitation at McDonald's. But we didn't want her talking about sanitation at McDonald's and then go into your hour, which might affect people's perception of your restaurant.
All right, I appreciate that very much, and I did get that phone call.
Okay, what didn't happen is that after Bud had called you, we did not establish the ISDN, not the ISDN, we didn't establish the phone line to the restaurant properly, and so that when we brought on your jingle, you were not yet there.
But you say you had not yet established the phone line properly. Are you saying that you had not yet dialed the number? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
All right, well then speak English. You know.
Well, I...
didn't dial the number. You know, when you... I think your audience understands, Phil, that, you know, what that means. You don't have... We didn't establish the number properly, and we have the ISDN and the connection. It all sounds very impressive and very technical, but really what we're talking about is you hadn't picked up the phone and gone boop, 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 you know, done the... Where is it? Over here. You didn't do that, did you?
No.
And who's supposed to do that?
Bud.
There you go. This guy, Bud, I gotta tell you.
I forgot. I didn't have your number on me.
You didn't have my number on you. Let me say this, Phil. I hope he doesn't have my number on him. I don't necessarily want my number on him, but I'd like it somewhere in your studio so that when you guys are ready to call me, you've got the number.
You're absolutely right. Everything you're saying is right.
Well, that's a first for me. I feel very good about that.
Well, you know, everything is... We were very... And I'm saying this to you, Bud. You were completely... You know, what were you thinking?
I did call him up and told him that we was going to go to him, and then I hung up.
Yeah, in other words, he should have kept me on the line.
You should have kept him on the line because you only called him about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, but then he would be sitting there and everything.
I don't care. I'd rather be sitting there than, you know, they tell me that what I sounded like when I was on just a moment ago was like that. That's all they heard.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
And you're laughing, aren't you?
Yeah, well, the way you did it, it was very funny, but that's exactly what happened. The line was not connected properly, so that when you started to talk, all we got was this quick blast of a consonant or a syllable.
Yeah, what was it? Terry Binford's here, and she said, go ahead, do it, Terry. That's what it sounded like. That's great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Ted, you know what? I think everybody knows that in radio it is a It's a constant struggle when we're doing live to keep things technically connected. I don't think anyone's going to blame you for that. If they do, I'd like to say openly that it is our fault and that you are a fine sponsor, and we're sorry that we brought you on in such a manner, and that we will attempt to do it better in the future.
All right, I appreciate that very much, but like I said, you know, I'm just an individual here trying to make a living, just like everybody else. Phil, people think that I'm a millionaire, and if you want to talk in technical terms, all right, I do have money, and I have money that, yes, if you were to count it, it would go into the millions. Now that's what the technical aspect is, but I'm struggling like everyone else. I struggle like everyone else to make a living. When you say that a man's a billionaire, and you say that the man has money in the millions, what you don't say is, well, is he paying for a business? Is he supporting, you know, is he paying salaries? Is he running a business? Does he have expenses? And all of that is very true. And after I get done paying all those expenses, do I still have millions? The answer to that question is also a yes. Yes, I do. But those millions are subject to inflation. They are subject to the constant pressures on the dollar. And they're subject, certainly, to the constant pressures that I have in my business. So I don't sleep any better than anybody else at night just because I am technically a millionaire, just because I technically have that kind of money.
Well, you also have your money in gold, as you've told us.
I do, yes.
And you have purchased gold to such an extent that you've had the gold, in some instances, turned into things, I know.
What do you mean, turned into things?
You said you'd put a statue.
Hold on, Bud. I'll talk to the guy.
Yes, I did. He's right. I had a figurine, if you want, Phil, made for the front of our house, and it is a family figurine. I'm hoping it becomes an heirloom. I'm hoping that our son Josh takes it and passes it down. It is myself and Marcy and Josh. It is a beautiful statue that was formed by a young artist named Vladimir Pardin. That's P-A-R-D-I-N. He is from the Ukraine, and he fashioned this out of, I believe it was originally stone, but it is gold-plated. So we used solid gold plating.
And you have this in front of your house?
Yes, we do. We have it in front of our house. And I don't think it's ostentatious. It is, a gold statue of myself and my wife and my son. And then we have a gold statue of only me, which we have at the foot of the driveway. So is this ostentatious? I don't think so. I think it's an investment. And I think it's the kind of investment that I'm very proud to make. I think that, you know, when you invest in something, you don't just keep it in a vault. But you do something with it, and
you also mentioned that you've had.
Hold on, please. You interrupted me. I was going to say you invest and you also make something out of it. End of sentence. Period. Okay, go ahead.
I apologize. You had said
that's all right.
Okay, you had said that you had made a tea set.
No, sir, not a tea set. No, we made serving trays. We have a set of serving trays, and we have a set of dinnerware. A tea set? When did I ever say a tea set?
I'm sorry. Well, I guess the thing that stuck in my head was the serving tray. And
well, that doesn't mean I've got a tea set. Why would I ever do that?
I don't know, Ted.
You have to understand, you don't make things just to say you made them. You make things that you use. So if you have gold and you want to create something with the gold, do something with it that is going to be useful. And
well, what do you call making a statue of yourself?
I find that is a representation. You know, if you want to make an issue of that, that's a representation of my family. And
no, the statue of you and your wife and your son, but then you have another one. And
yes, I do.
And it's of you.
Yes, it's a statue of me. What we have is the one, we have the statue of myself and Marcy and Josh, which is up near the front door of the house. And then down the drive, about halfway down the drive, is a statue of me.
What is the statue? Is it just
It's just me standing, smiling, and I have my hands in my pocket. One leg is extended forward as if I'm just relaxed. And I asked the gentleman when he made this to create it in such a way that I'm greeting someone. I'm saying, I'm Ted Bell. And so the mouth is slightly open as if I'm saying, hi, I'm Ted Bell. But I'm relaxed, My hands are in my pocket. One of the people that floated a rumor, which I thought was the crudest thing and was destructive and very hurtful to the employees at the restaurant, and it was also reprinted in one of the local Beverly Hills papers, which I thought was utterly irresponsible. They said that Ted Bell has a statue of himself made out of gold. The fly is open on his trousers in the statue. Ha, ha, ha. That may be funny if you're in junior high school. It was not funny to me, and it was not funny to my family. And
that's a rumor started by someone, maybe a rival in business, huh?
Well, I don't know, but if I can tell you this, if I find out who started that rumor, and if I find out and I know who the guy is, I will take steps to, at least bring some kind of civil action, because I think that...
Well, did it get public? I didn't hear about it.
No, but it got public in Beverly Hills.
That a gold statue you'd had created...
The gold statue of myself... Had the fly, was either the fly was open or
it was the one of you.
The one with me and Marcy and Josh.
The one with you and your wife and kid.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's the thing that really made me angry, that I'm standing there with my fly, excuse me, with my fly open. Can I get, don't put so much pepper in that. I got a, if you don't mind, Phil, I got a Bloody Mary. They put a little too much pepper in it.
And well, you got to relax.
I feel like relax. I got the statue with the fly open. But I really want to talk to you here about this lottery. Is that what you wanted to come up with?
Well, we want to talk to you about, yes, about the proposed changes to the lottery law that you are putting forward. And the story here of a worker in India who won $1 million on one of their local shows. He's a very, very poor man. He's a government worker. He's also a teacher. And he's impoverished.
I've got some very definite ideas on who should win these lotteries and who should not win these lotteries. It's gotten out of hand, and I think we do need to make some changes, yeah. But I wanted to be clear on that statue. The fly, the rumor was that the statue of myself and Marcy and Josh, my pants were open.
That's the rumor.
No, that's what the statue looked. Yes, it's the rumor. And it's tempting to laugh. Okay, go ahead. Get it out of your system.
I'm sorry, Ted.
You know, all I ask for is an adult conversation and not this kind of nonsense.
I apologize.
Well, you're doing a lot of apologizing tonight, as well you should.
Well, you're right. You're absolutely right. And I don't know who started that rumor. It is very injurious, as Ted said. He is a prominent businessman in Beverly Hills, and... he does drive a lot of business to the city, and he employs a lot of people, and a lot of people go to his restaurant. So, yeah, that's. We're going to come back, though, and talk a little bit more about business with Ted Bell tonight, including lotteries. Who wins lotteries, and what happens to that money? Do the people that win lotteries, do they actually benefit the rest of the economy, the rest of society, with what they do with the money? We'll be back to talk about it with Ted Bell here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Beverly Hills, we are a steakhouse, and I'll tell you something, we've got the Kansas City, we've got the New York. I can tell you, if there are any other cities that are named for steaks, we've got those. And Ted's of Beverly Hills. I want to start a Beverly Hills steak, Phil.
You know, I was thinking about that. Why don't they call it a Kansas City steak or a New York steak? Why not a Beverly Hills steak?
I'm going to start a Beverly Hills steak, we'll call it the Ted steak. It's a cut, you know, that's what we're talking about. We talk about the Kansas City steak or the New York strip or the New York, the sirloin. It's a cut of meat, and I think that I'd like to name one of our fillets or perhaps a tenderloin. We'll call it the Beverly Hills cut, and we'll have it on the menu. And I bet you anything that it takes off, because the tourist trade loves that kind of thing. And a lot of people, and I do thank you for this, Phil, you've brought a lot of business to our restaurant, which I do very much appreciate, because people hear about our restaurant through a talk show. And I've said this to you before. I'm not telling you anything that isn't, you know, that you don't already know. It's, the clientele tends to be...
middle class?
Well, I wouldn't... I'd say some of it sometimes tends to be lower middle class. And we're happy to have those people. You know, a lot of them, we got to give them a jacket. You know, you're supposed to wear a jacket when you come to my restaurant. That's what you do. And
exactly. And the women... women can wear pants.
Oh, yeah. The women are fine. We don't like to see jeans, but we understand. But the men have got to have a jacket, and I don't mean a bomber jacket. I don't mean a leather jacket. I'm talking about a regular sports jacket, at least. And that's just how it's going to be. I've never changed that rule since I took over the restaurant. That's the one thing I instituted. My father, and I love my father, but the place just had gotten too many bums and slobs coming in. I shouldn't say. Sorry.
All right, well, let's talk here about this.
But you got to wear a jacket. And if you could say that on your show, and you would be telling your listeners that, you'd be telling the people that are listening that.
You mean right now?
Yes, if you wouldn't mind.
Please wear a jacket.
Well, give it some sell, you know.
Okay.
In other words, pretend like this is part of the commercial.
No, I understand that, but we wanted to do an interview.
I know, I want to do the interview, but I'm asking you to include, if you wouldn't mind, a little bit of a sell here for men wearing a jacket in my restaurant so I don't have to deal with as many of these individuals that don't dress good and they listen to your show. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, for those of you who are listening to the show right now, if you go to Ted's of Beverly Hills, I'd appreciate it very much if you are a man. That you wear a jacket.
Whoa, what do you mean if you're a man? I think we know.
Ted, do you want to do an interview here? Or?
Yes, I want to do an interview, but I also pay for airtime on your show, and I'm trying to get it so I got people walking through the door at this place that, you know what I'm saying, they know how to take a napkin and put it in their lap. Nothing fancy.
Are you telling me that you don't like the grade of clientele that you get at your restaurant because of the advertising on my show?
I'm saying that I'd like to have some people that at least know how to put a dinner jacket on. You know what I'm saying? Please don't push me to say what I really think.
Boy, what?
Mr. Holmes.
Yes, David.
Well, I'm just calling. I think that Ted is right.
Well, that's a shock.
Boy, what is that? What kind of a smart-ass comment is that?
Well, every time you call in the middle of him being on the show...
Bill, he's trying to help me out here, okay? I'm trying to just say to give it a little punch, that's all. I'm not trying to mess up your show.
Well, every time you call when he's on, you're backing him up.
He's a sponsor. I'm just saying, if the guy wants you to... What do you want him to do, Mr. Bell? I want him to do just say, when you come to Ted's of Beverly Hills, those of you that are listening out there in talk radio land... Because a lot of you probably don't go to a good, I guess I shouldn't say that, but a lot of you probably don't go to a good restaurant too often. And, yeah, no, it's fine.
Oh, well, what do you mean a lot of you don't go to a good restaurant?
Hold on. Then would you please wear a jacket? You got to wear a jacket. Otherwise, Ted will not let you in to sit down and eat the steak. Boy. Can you do that?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, listening to the show, he doesn't want me to say if you're a man.
Because the women are going to be insulted. If you're a man, would you wear... If you're a woman, ladies, this isn't for you. Don't wear a sports jacket. What's that mean? Yeah, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. Women are going to... One of the things about women is they don't like being insulted, and they'll go ape all over you if you insult them.
Okay, gentlemen listening, when you go to Ted's of Beverly Hills, if you go to Ted's of Beverly Hills...
Whoa. What is that if? Now, you don't say if.
Look, let me just do this so we can get on with the hour, okay? I think I know how to do a commercial pitch.
God. All right, go ahead.
You know, I mean, you guys are...
No. Go ahead. It's all right. I'll hang up. I thought I just wanted to call up and help a sponsor. But if you don't want my help, then you can... Is he gone?
Yeah, he's gone. Ladies and gentlemen, if you go to Ted's of Beverly Hills, would you please wear a sports jacket if you're a man? And I don't care if you're a woman being insulted by the fact that I'm assuming that you don't know this. Women, you don't have to wear sports jackets. Only guys, you need to wear one when you go to Ted's.
Well, that butchered... Boy, did you butcher that. Well, that's all right. No, it's fine.
I butchered it, huh?
Well, yeah, I consider myself to be reasonably intelligent. I don't know what the hell you just said. Well, if you did, look at this. Now we're at a break, huh?
Yeah, we're at a break. We still haven't gotten to this.
Not my fault.
We'll be right back at a world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, with Ted Bell on the lottery and who should win it and who shouldn't. And remember to wear a jacket when you go to Ted's. Please.
Yeah, now that was good.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hey, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Enjoy the great sporting events. I know the World Series is almost over, but we've got NFL football. That means not for long. If you don't get to Ted's, get a steak into you. Come on. We want to put our meat in your mouth.
By the way, Ted, the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies. I forgot to mention those.
When are those? Yeah, I want to know. When are those coming out?
Those are very, very shortly. They're in design now. And very shortly, we're going to have those in our merchandise shop at the Phil Hendry website. So,
all right, that's going to be a beautiful thing in time for Christmas. These hoodies, which I know the kids like, because they want to look like they're gangbangers or whatever the hell their problem is. I don't know. But, I don't think that they're gangbangers, but you talked me into it, so,
Well, let's not talk about their hoodies, okay? And they have Ted's logo on the front and on the back, your time-honored slogan.
Yeah, we want to put our meat in your mouth is right there on the back so that when you're walking down the street, people will say, wow, I wonder what steakhouse that is. And they'll walk around and say, hello, I just noticed that, you know, the slogan is, and please, Mr. Hendry, so many people have made jokes about this.
No, I know.
Please just don't do it. So they'll walk around and they'll say, where is this? Oh, it's Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Don't they? They'll probably go around and say, you want to put your meat in my mouth?
Who said that?
Bud did.
What did I just get done telling you guys?
Bud, shut your mouth.
Well, it's too late now. Oh, boy.
Shut your mouth.
I just got done telling you, don't go kid. Don't go the childish route.
All right, let's talk here about...
Yeah, sure. Let's go ahead and talk about it, yeah. Now that you've wrecked my business.
I doubt it, Ted.
Yeah, really? You know all about the steak business, huh?
No, but I doubt seriously whether this idiot... You keep your mouth shut.
Hold on for a minute. Would you guys shut up in the kitchen, please? I'm on the radio. I'm on the radio. Tell it. Hey, Oscar. Go ahead.
All right, Ted. In New Delhi, a poor government clerk from a desolate region of eastern India has become the first person ever to win $1 million on an Indian game show. Sushil Kumar's staggering win on the popular Indian version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire has transformed him into a role model for millions of aspiring youth yearning to escape their lives of poverty and find a role in India's burgeoning economy. His win echoes the plot of the 2008 Oscar-winning film Slumdog Millionaire, whose impoverished protagonist won the grand prize on the show. Now, this man and his wife of 4 months, they wept when the Indian movie legend Amitabh Bachchan, the show's host, handed them a check for 50 million rupees, just over $1 million, after the contestant gave all the right answers. And it was quite an emotional moment for them.
Right, and I read about this, and my congratulations go out to this gentleman. He's a government clerk, you said?
Yes, he is, a government clerk and a teacher.
And a teacher. The problem that we have here in the United States, and I don't know whether they have the same problem in India, and I'm going to bypass what you've done to my slogan, we'll just keep talking about this. And
well, you're not exactly bypassing it when you bring it up.
Because it really burns me up. It burns me up when the kid, when I said, don't make a joke out of it, and he did. Anyway, my point is the following thing, Phil. If you win $1 million, you can do a lot of things with $1 million. And there are a lot of things you can do with $1 million that do absolutely nothing for the economy, for the country, for the society that you live in. So if you win your $1 million and you go out and you buy ridiculous things, let's say you win $1 million and you're going out and buying stupid furniture, ridiculous looking paintings. You don't invest. You don't make the money work for you.
Wait. Ridiculous looking paintings. All of those things though go to people that make the paintings. And
well, they go to people that make ridiculous looking paintings and stupid furniture. Yes, it doesn't go to a bank. It doesn't go to a place where the money is going to be used by others to invest in, for instance, the building of homes or the building of businesses. It's not wise. It's not a wise expenditure of money. And what we're looking for is a wise expenditure of money. The money is going to be...
Do you think that a lot of people buy stupid stuff when they win the lottery?
I think that one of the problems we have is that the lottery is generally won by people who are low income. And so that means, doesn't mean they're stupid, but it does mean that they don't have a lot of experience at buying things. And they don't have a lot of experience at purchasing items that are not only beneficial to themselves, but also to the society they live in. For instance, buying an American automobile, going out and purchasing shares in a company that is trying to, something like a green company, something like a company that makes solar power.
Well, you're talking about all of these really touchy-feely, politically correct investments.
No, it doesn't make any difference what it is. I'm talking about maybe touchy-feely.
And well, the whole green thing.
Forget about the green. I'm just saying, purchasing something, stock, or a holding, or a position with a company that is actually going to be hiring people. In other words, not buying a lot of velvet dogs playing poker paintings. Do you understand what I'm saying?
And so a lot of kitschy garbage is what you think people of low income buy when they win the that they buy when they win the lottery.
Yes, I think that there's an awful lot of wasteful spending by people that win the lottery. So my point is this: if you are going to enter the lottery and you win, I believe that if it's a state-sponsored lottery like California or something like that, there needs to be some appraisal of your income. I believe there needs to be some question and answer form of some kind that asks, what are you going to do with the money? And I don't think that that is something that, because if you don't, you're going to put this country into even worse shape than it already is. You get people buying stuff that they shouldn't buy. A lot of...
Well, I don't know how much that actually affects the economy. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to Charlie. Hey, Charlie, go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Hendry, listening to the gentleman on the radio this evening, and he's talking about poor people or lower-income people purchasing things that are not good for the economy. I dare say I can't think of one thing that you can purchase that is not good for the economy, as long as you're circulating the money, you understand?
That's a good point. But there are a lot of things you can buy that don't help the economy. There are a lot of, for instance, as I just got done saying, if you go out and you buy bad, cheap furniture and dogs playing poker velvet paintings, okay?
I don't know what that is.
Well, it's a kind of a
well, it's sort of this pop art that some people have put in their homes.
Generally, they put it in the basement. But the people that win lotteries, they don't put that in the basement. They put it in their living room.
I don't know what you mean by a dog playing poker. I'm talking about
that a dog isn't playing poker. It's a painting of a dog playing poker.
I'm simply talking about the fact that if you win the lottery, you're an American citizen, and you spend that money, and no matter where you spend that money, it's good for the economy.
Is that right? What about, excuse me for saying this, what about in a brothel?
Oh, don't be ridiculous in a brothel.
Hold on for a minute. Why am I being ridiculous? What if the guy spends it in a brothel or on dog fights?
What does he mean, dog fights?
Okay, so you're saying that a guy that wins $1 million...
If the guy is of a low-income guy, okay? Look what happened with Michael Vick. We found out that low-income people like dog fighting. So you're going to take a guy...
Oh, that's very racist. Very racist.
And I'm not talking about racism. I'm talking about guys that don't have money like to bet on dog fights. Okay?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, Michael Vick was black. So what are you saying?
I didn't say anything about him being black. I said that
Michael Vick isn't poor either.
I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about the guys that go out and bet on these dogfights that Michael Vick was sponsoring. That's what I'm talking about.
So you're telling me that a poor man, like this gentleman in India, is going to go lay his money on the line on a dog fight?
Well, no, I wasn't talking specifically about the gentleman in India. I don't know if they have dog fights in India. You know,
they might have dog fights. They might have cobra fights. There could be some.
Well, they could have some kind of an animal fight. You're right. I don't know what kind of animal. But yes, there may be dog fights. It's India, but maybe they have elephant fights. You know.
Well, I doubt if they'd be elephant fights.
What are you talking about here?
You're the one that brought up the elephant fights.
No, but you're saying in India, this man who won the lottery could be spending his money on something really stupid, too.
That is exactly right, Phil. Thank you. That is exactly right.
And who is the one that judges whether it's stupid? Because, and allow me to finish my point here. If you don't like something that a man does with his money, it doesn't necessarily mean that it is a bad investment. If a man wants to go out and buy a velvet painting of a dog playing poker, or if he wants to put the money on a dog fight, or if he wants to put his money into a brothel, it ultimately is not it's not your decision.
See, that's where you're wrong, because I believe that we can make it our decision. I believe that we can enforce who gets to win lotteries by way of law, so that we don't have some guy that's going to run right out with his $1 million in earnings and lay all on the line in a dogfight. I just don't think...
I think it's asinine, Mr. Henry, to think that happens.
Well, I think it's asinine to think that it happens to the extent that it affects the economy.
Well, how do you know? Who is the guy, sir, with all due respect, who are you?
Who am I? I'm a businessman. I live out here in America like everyone else. Who are you?
Well, who am I? I'm Ted Bell. All right? I'm Ted Bell.
That's fine.
Well, what do you mean that's fine? I'm Ted Bell. I'm Ted Bell.
I don't know who Ted Bell is.
Where are you calling from, sir?
I'm calling from Philadelphia.
You're calling from Philadelphia. All right. Well, I'm Ted Bell, all right?
And well, he owns a restaurant in Beverly Hills.
I don't know the restaurant, okay?
Do you eat steak?
Yes, I love steak.
All right, if you eat steak, have you eaten steak in a restaurant?
Yes, of course.
All right, I'm Ted Bell.
I don't know who you are.
You know, I think you're lying, because if you eat steak in a restaurant, I think you're lying.
I haven't been called a liar in a long time. I'm telling you that if a man wins money in a lottery, he has the right to put that money into anything he wants, including a brothel, or including a dog fight, or including whatever it is that you're saying.
What I'm saying right now is I'm Ted Bell, and you're telling me you've never heard of me.
You're going to have to let that one go, Ted.
Who's talking?
Phil Henry, the host.
Oh, sorry. What do you mean I got to let it go? I'm Ted Bell. You asked me who I was. Didn't you ask me that?
Yes, I did.
I'm Ted Bell.
You're Ted Bell, and he doesn't know who you are.
Lionel.
Thank you very much, Mr. Henry, for your great show, and I will hang up now because I don't want to talk any further to this jackass. Thank you, and good night.
Did you edit that out, please?
Edit out what?
The fact that he called me a jackass?
No, we didn't.
What an embarrassment.
Well, Ted, look.
You didn't edit that out?
No, we did not. I mean, I it wasn't profane.
He called me an idiot. He called me a jackass, I guess.
I understand that, but here's the thing. When you say to a guy repeatedly, I'm Ted Bell, and he doesn't know who you are, I think you're going to have to just move on, okay?
No, he knows who I am. If you eat steak in this country, if you put meat in your mouth, you know who I am. All right? Because if you do that, my name comes to mind. And if that kid that works for you tries to make a joke out of that...
All right, I understand. Do you still hold to the opinion that a low-income person winning the lottery or winning any other large cash prize is going to put that money into ridiculous or even illegal things?
I believe the level of judgment there is not as good as that which would attend someone of a higher earning capability and a higher, if you will, class in society. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Have you ever in your life bet on a... illegal, and have you ever bet in an illegal gambling enterprise?
What is that supposed to be?
Have you ever been in a poker game? Or
of course I have.
All right, and you know that those are illegal for the most part in the state of California.
Oh, give me a break, will you? I'm not talking about. What are you talking about?
I'm saying that a man is going to do what a man's going to do with his money, and not everybody, including you, puts his money into things that are legal.
A poker game? That's not the same as dogfights. You're going to win some real serious money in a dogfight.
Poker doesn't have serious money.
Yeah, has serious money, sure, but it doesn't, not the kind of money, not the kind of cabbage you're going to pull down in a dogfight. I only wish dogfights were legal. You can pull in decent money in a poker game if you get in the right game. But a dogfight, you don't get it. You know, you just don't get it.
Well, how do you know about dogfights?
Because, all right, I bet on one once. One time, just to see what it was about.
You bet on a dogfight?
Yes, I did. And I know I don't hate dogs, and know I don't want to see dogs get hurt, but I do like money. And I had to balance whether I like to see dogs get hurt with the fact that I like money, and it came out that I like, you know, money more than seeing a dog get hurt. So, I mean, I don't like to see a dog get hurt, but I like money more than not seeing the dog get hurt. In other words, what I'm saying is...
All right, hold on, Ted. 877-876-PHIL. We have to take a break. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills with us talking about who should be winning lotteries, if anybody. Who should win the lottery? Who should win cash prizes? If you don't know what you're doing with your money, then why should we give you any more, even if you win it in a lottery? The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills and enjoy a class evening out. And bring your girlfriend, bring your wife, and enjoy real class. Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Here at Ted's.
And remember,
we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Who did that?
I'm sorry, that was my fault. I pulled the music down.
What is it with you guys that you can't get anything right over there tonight? What is it?
I'm sorry, we'll play it again, Ted, okay?
Oh, yeah, sure, play it again. I led into it, I said, and remember, and then you were going to hear the slug line, we want to put our meat in your mouth, and you blew it. You blew it.
You're right, I...
You're getting this... All right, the second thing I want to say here, God almighty, you know what, Phil... I'm glad I sponsor your show, but
you know you've had a lot of complaints, and I understand technically we haven't handled things right, but you have not yet made it very clear to me and to my listeners how it is a man who is poor is not allowed to enter a lottery. You say he spends his money on ridiculous things like velvet dog poker playing paintings, bad furniture, and now what is this? You passed this is a message to Bud.
Yeah, I want to hear that music, cut 3, tape 2, reel 9. You got that, Dickman?
Yeah, cut 3, tape 2, reel 9.
Yeah, now when you guys start talking about dogfighting, I want to make it very clear. What did I just started talking about dogfighting, so do it.
That was a cue.
Oh, sorry.
When you guys start talking about dogfighting, I want to make it very clear. Yeah, there you go. That's not me. This is not me. Here, this is dogfight music.
All right, let me get Brad Rifkin on the line here from Rifkin Advertising in Las Vegas. Brad is also in the advertising game, Ted, and we've been talking an awful lot about that.
Hold on.
Snake for a necktie.
Yeah.
Got a brand new house on the roadside.
And I love to watch dogs fight.
I got a brand new...
All right, who is the guy?
Hey, Brad, Brad, how you doing?
I'm good, Phil. How are you?
I'm great. This is Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Yes, Mr. Bell, how are you? I'm very pleased to meet you.
Yeah, Ted Bell.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Brad, why don't you tell Ted what you were saying?
Well, I've been in advertising a long time, Mr. Bell. I'm very familiar with your restaurant, and I'm very familiar with the work that you do.
So if I say to you I'm Ted Bell, you know who I am?
I absolutely know who you are, yes, sir.
All right.
But I don't think you're looking at this the right way. If a man wants to spend his money on a dogfight, he's entering into an illegal enterprise, obviously. So that money is going over to other people that use it for illegal purposes. And that money is lost. That money is lost. But if you look at the country, the United States of America, you could see that were that the case... then the country itself would be in much, much worse shape. But the fact is that people have invested over the many, many years of the history of this country in legitimate enterprise, legitimate business, and that is what's made the country grow. So I don't think you're looking at it historically the right way.
Well, I don't, you're saying a lot. You're making a lot of noise, but you're not making any sense. What do you mean historically the right way? All I know is that if...
Who do you love?
See this? Yeah, I know you think that's dogfighting music.
Who do you love?
Talking of, no, I wanted to talk about dogfighting, so I want this...
Arlene took me by my...
All right, when these guys are investing their money in dogfighting, this is what you hear. When you want to invest your money in something that's classy, this is what you hear, okay? Right, okay, and what if you want to invest in my business, which is the advertising business? What do you hear then? All right, well, then you'd hear this. You'd hear this. Okay, see this? What's that supposed to mean? Well, I think you know. No, I don't. I don't know what that means.
What does that mean, Ted?
Well, do I got to spell it out?
Sometimes I feel like
I want to walk away. In other words, you're trying to say that I'm involved in some... I'm telling you that the business you're in is not what I call, I guess, a manly enterprise. But you, and yet you went to an advertising agency to get, you, shoot.
That's right. It's the end of the hour on the Phil Hendry Show.
Wait a minute. What happened to the hour that I'm sponsoring? I'm Ted Bell.
Phil Hendry. Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com. Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. You're invited to join us this evening at 877-876-PHIL. We're going to talk with Margaret Gray in a moment. She also is a, she's a native daughter, a native of Pennsylvania. She lives in California now. Her father and her family closely associated with Penn State. We're going to talk to her about the ongoing terrible, horrible story having to do with Penn State, having to do with Coach Paterno. And it's one of those stories, folks, that we're going to stay with because it's enormous. It's not just politics, it's not war, it's American life. It's our passion for Saturday afternoon college football. It's children, it's family, it's trust. I was reading a great article today about Joe Paterno as the father. I mean, this is how they view that man in what's the name of that town that they're in?
What?
What's the town they're in Pennsylvania?
It's called State Penitentiary?
State Penitentiary? It's called State College. What the hell's the name? Oh, Park Station or College Station. That's it.
What do you mean, College Station?
That's the name of it, College Station. Just trust me on this. So he's the father there in College Station. And they have murals with his face on them. They have, God knows what, they have statues. And, of course, we'll be talking with Ted Bell later on for our regular Friday evening visit with Ted. And we're going to talk about this idea of the commemoration of people and the putting people in statue form. Ted Bell has done that. He's done that for himself. He actually had a gold statue made of himself and put on his property, which is, in my opinion, bizarre. Nonetheless, we're going to talk with him about that as well tonight as we continue with this. And, of course, tomorrow is Saturday, and tomorrow will be college football day. And Penn State does have a home game, and they're playing Nebraska. And the students, you know, boy, there's a lot to say about the students and the team. This isn't their problem. They didn't do it. They didn't create this. This is nothing that they deserve. They were betrayed by the coaches. They were betrayed by their administration. And so the football players and the students got to get out there, you know, and do it for themselves.
Yeah, they just got to go out and play the game. And like you said, playing for Penn State.
Yeah, but still, they probably won't be able to win because Joe Paterno's not going to be there.
Yeah, they'll be able to win. They'll be able to win. Don't worry about it. They got their other assistant coaches that are there.
They're the one guy that is in protective custody.
That's the other. That guy McCready is not McCree. Whatever his name is, McQueary or something. Very unfortunate. Name, but anyway, he is not in protective custody. He was joking with the players when he was on a conference call with them. He is merely someplace else. And he also said that he was double-fisting it. And, Bud, you immediately went to one of the most filthy places, you know.
Well, what are you supposed to do if the guy says that he's double-fisting?
He meant drinking booze, okay?
Don't mean what you think it does. If anybody says to me, I'm double-fisting it, I know where my mind goes.
Oh, well, no doubt that's where your mind goes. Double-fisting it. In the sense that McQuarrie was saying it.
What about his name? It's a natural connection to make.
Why don't you grow up, okay, and quit trying to be funny? He was talking about drinking. Drinking. And to be quite honest with you, if I were him, I'd probably be double-fisting it too, as in drinking. All right, so 877-876-PHIL is our number. Don't forget, on our website is our backstage pass. You can pick up a subscription to our website and watch video of our show as we perform it every night right here on the Internet. You can also head over there to our souvenir shop and pick up a brand-new hoodie. We have the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. We'll talk to Ted next hour. And a couple of news stories that we featured there. One of them, of course, about the ongoing situation in Penn State. The other, that Black Sabbath has announced a new album and a 2012 world tour, Bud.
Boy, that's one of the greatest things that ever is ever going to happen to me. I really almost did start a cry and everything.
Is this a band?
Yeah, it's a band. Probably because it ain't the Dramatics. You don't know who it is.
Shut up, man.
All right, well, hold on. Yes, Black Sabbath is getting back together for a 2012 world tour. And these are all the same guys. This is Geezer, and this is Bill Ward, and it's Tommy Iommi, and Ozzy Osbourne. And they all look fantastic, too. If you look at the picture, Bill Ward looks rather dashing there with the open-neck shirt and his hair pulled back. And I don't know, maybe he's just being propped up there. But they all look very, like they're in good shape, you know?
Yeah, well, I thought about heroin's supposed to be bad for you.
I guess heroin isn't bad for you. I guess it's good for you.
Yeah, if you look at them.
So we'll have to go back and rethink that. I think heroin is... I'm kidding. No, of course it's bad for you. You know?
Yeah, but they look great.
Well, that doesn't mean they're still on heroin. I thought heroin was supposed to be bad for you.
They look pretty good.
They all look for them. Look fantastic. They really do. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. We're going to go over to Margaret Gray, who I know is at home or planning on a dinner this evening. Margaret, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well, Phil, and we are planning on a dinner. We're having over about six or seven people from Frank's office and some of the people that I work with at Dixon Syndicate. And we're planning we're going to have an Asian dinner this evening. It's not a Chinese dinner. We're not going to do Chinese food, but we are going to have an Asian, sort of an Asian-flavored dinner based on some of the things that I experienced when I was in the when I was in China. And I know you've been there, Phil.
Yeah, I can tell you what my favorite dish in China was this was the thing that we all loved every night, was the crackling rice soup.
Yes, we have the crackling rice soup, very spicy, very good. And we also have, and hold on just a minute. I want you to set the table. That is, if you heard that, Phil, it's a little mock gong that I have here on the veranda. And we're serving some cocktails right now. How you doing? You want to get over there and serve some drinks? Because you're just standing there.
And are you... Okay, we run into this problem from time to time. If
I apologize, Phil. I know you want to talk to me. And
yeah, if you need to talk to somebody else or otherwise interact with other people, I would suggest that you give that job to someone else, okay? Because I'm hearing that gong now.
Yeah, that's good. I gave that to Amparo, who is... Amparo's my... assistant here, and she's going to be directing the staff. We have a staff from La Min's restaurant, and they are Asian. And what happened? So when she hits that gong, it means we have a need for their services, and I think we had someone get sick over in the veranda there. That's terrible.
All right, so are you going to be distracted by that?
No, I'm not. I am not operating. I'm not on the gong. Right.
Is she going to be hitting that thing all night? I mean, these are questions that I have.
Well, Phil, ignore it, because I'm having a gathering of people and someone got sick over there.
Is this gong going to be hit all night?
Yes, Phil. It's a part of the atmosphere of the party that we're having. So that when we need one of our Asian servers... Let me ask you, do you have to hit it that much? Someone got sick over in an area. I just planted that grass, too.
Well, what are all these gongs for?
Well, that one was... What's that? Tell you what, Phil, I'll move to a different area a bit.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, because it's a little distracting. All right, Margaret, I know that your family was, and you yourself, graduated from Penn State. I know your family has been contributing money to the school. They are one of many donors, but very vital. And you have a view on this Joe Paterno firing, particularly, that I don't think I've heard anybody bring up before. And why don't you go ahead and share this with my audience, and then we can talk a little bit about it.
Well, Phil, as I said to you, I don't think it's something that a lot of men have thought of. The only reason why I know this is because I grew up in a family. We were steeped in football from a very early age. My father, as I said, is a graduate of Penn State. My father was a very, very big, not only a fan of Penn State football, but also of the players that came out of Penn State and eventually made their way to professional football. Joe Paterno is a very, very unique situation. You have to understand. I know that children were molested. And Phil, I can say this to you as a mother. If what happened to those boys happened to my son, Jason J. Delmonico, I would be in a prison cell. I'd probably be in a madhouse. I think I would be judged insane from what I would do to anyone that touched my son.
All right, I understand your anger. I totally, totally get it. And
I would be put in a madhouse because the crime scene itself, after I got done with whoever did what they did to Jason J. Delmonico, the crime scene, veterans, seasoned police officers would never forget it. And
all right, I understand that what you're saying is you would be so angry, you would be so violent.
I'm telling you that veteran police officers, veteran homicide investigators, would come upon the crime scene that I created and would be sick to their stomachs.
All right, I get it. I get it.
Well, I think you need to get it because every mother out there knows what I'm talking about. There isn't a woman or a father out there that doesn't know what I'm talking about. If someone did that to my son, you would have a coroner's office that would take a few days to get around to determining cause of death. Because they'd need a couple of days off to recover from the vomiting. And
all right, I understand, Margaret. It would be a gruesome, horrific, never-before-seen scene, crime scene. And these police officers, veteran and veteran coroners people and veteran, all of these people would be sick. And I understand it would be violent. You have, to be honest with you, I think that it would be, you'd be stepping over the line here now. I mean, I get it about revenge, you know, but at some point, when you say you'd be put into a madhouse, at what point do you allow the evil of others turn you into a psycho?
I wouldn't care anymore, Phil. You have to understand, I wouldn't care anymore. If Jason J. Delmonico had something like that happen to him, I wouldn't care any longer what anyone thought of me.
So your son's still alive, and he could still be helped through therapy. Your husband's still alive. It's a terrible thing for the family to go through. But you would basically remand yourself to a mental institution for life.
Yes, I would. Well, yes, I would. It's difficult to say, but yes, I would. Even though Jason would be healthy and he'd be out, not healthy, he would need therapy. But yes, I would gladly go to a madhouse because I would need to do what I would do to those people. And it would only put me in a madhouse.
All right. Let's move past that, because I think you're getting into an area here that as much as parents can certainly relate to what you're saying, I don't know that anybody is so... I don't know that anyone...
Don't speak for parents, Phil. You know, don't speak for mothers and fathers. All right?
All right, I won't do that, but I'm just telling you that I believe that there are some people that might draw the line a little bit at being sent to a nut house. When we come back, Margaret, I want you to talk to me a little bit about what you were saying about Pennsylvania being the cradle of football and how Joe Paterno must not be fired for football in America to survive. All right.
Yeah, and Phil, and this is based on a lot of years watching Penn State football.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Stick around. Margaret Gray will be talking about the history of football in America and why Joe Paterno, therefore, as the result of America's history with football, Joe Paterno cannot be fired. He must be brought back in some capacity as a football coach. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're going to get the phone calls in, not this segment, in the next segment, so please be patient with us. On the line with us from Santa Monica tonight is Margaret Gray, and I think it's appropriate, Margaret, that we hold off on phone calls until our next segment, because I never did give you the chance to talk about your theory and really what Joe Pa, as he's affectionately known, means to that school.
Well, Phil, it's not really a theory. It comes from having been born and raised in Pennsylvania, but it also comes from understanding even better than some people in Pennsylvania that football, I hate to break the news, and I'm not being sarcastic, but I think a lot of people think football was invented in Texas, or football was invented in Florida, or football, you know, came from some other area of the country. American football, Phil, was born and bred in Pennsylvania. Now, I know that there were very early collegiate games featuring teams from Canada, but the game that we know today, and the real nuts and bolts, gridiron game that we know as football today, was brought to us by those coal miners in Pennsylvania, in western Pennsylvania, leaving the coal mines at night and getting out a lot of their aggressions and a lot of their frustrations and their anxieties playing this game of football. And that was Pennsylvania, Phil. That is where I'm from, and that's obviously where Penn State is located. And more importantly, that is where Joe Paterno has coached for all these years. Now, let's talk a little bit about football players. Because it's not just the game of football that originated in Pennsylvania, but as you've heard over the last few days, the players that have come from Pennsylvania, born and bred, whether it's Jim Kelly, or Joe Namath, or Joe Montana, or Dan Marino, or Johnny Unitas, these are all Pennsylvania born and bred quarterbacks. What people are proposing, Phil, is really the stripping away of the very heart and soul of Pennsylvania football. That's a big decision, and I don't want to be the one to make it. I think it takes a lot bigger pair, in the words of Frank, and I'm sure yourself, Phil, and some others, I think it takes a lot bigger pair to make that call than some of us have.
All right, now let's talk about this. What's this got to do with the...
With the Penn State scandal?
Yes.
I'll tell you what it has to do with it. As I said, as a mother, anyone that would do that to Jason J. Delmonico would risk being turned into... Well, they wouldn't be human anymore. I would make sure they were nothing more than soup before I left that room.
And all right, no, I understand the gruesome things you'd do to someone that would hurt your son. I mean, my God, Margaret.
Phil, I'm a mother.
No, I know that. I understand that. But let's move past that if we can. You say, well, I would kill anybody that hurt my son, and I'm sure a great many people would agree with you on that. However, you want to let Paterno back onto the campus. Now, I believe he should have been fired. A great many people agree with me, and the reasoning is very, very simple. When it comes to an evil done to children, doing the very basic requirement, doing what's, quote, legally called of you to do, ain't even close to what you're supposed to do, okay?
And I couldn't agree more, Phil. I think we have to go all the way to the wall. And Joe Paterno, I think if it was anybody else, Phil, Joe Paterno, see, this is why Joe Paterno's different. I think if it was anyone else, if it was you, if it was me, if it was anyone else, if it was Daryl Royal, if it was...
Daryl Royal meant as much to his program as Joe Paterno.
No, that's where you're wrong. No. Daryl Royal was not the football coach of a college in a state that gave birth to American football. Joe Paterno was Phil. And so that's why it's different. That's why I, as much as what you're saying is true, Joe Paterno cannot be fired from that school because it would literally pull the struts out from underneath football in this country. I don't think football will survive.
And you're kidding.
Why would I kid about that?
Well, I mean, what do you mean you don't think football would survive?
If you allow Joe Paterno's firing to stand, you're basically saying that the head football coach at a school in the state where football was founded can be thrown into the garbage heap like any torso that a serial killer would throw into the garbage. I don't think it's something you want to do.
And I don't think he's being thrown into the garbage heap. I think he's being told, Coach, you need to retire for the good of the school.
The perception is the man's been fired. Now, believe me, Phil, anyone that would hurt my son, I'd dismember. And you want to know something? And this is a sick, sick thing to say. I would be so mad from what happened to my son, I would consider cannibalizing. And I know that that's it.
You got to be joking.
No, I know it sounds crazy, but that's how crazy I would be.
You would be so crazy that you'd cannibalize parts of the people that hurt your son, and yet Joe Paterno must stay.
Joe Paterno not only must stay, he has to stay. Otherwise, you are sticking a knife right into the face of American football in its very home place, Pennsylvania. You are taking the face of American football, and you're gouging its eyes out.
Okay, hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL. So there you heard it. That's essentially Joe Paterno, the head football coach at a school in the home state of football, must be allowed to stay. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
You're listening to an encore.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and my given to understand that there was a huge rally at Penn State for Paterno, and he was at the rally, if I'm not mistaken, and we'll try to give you more on that. Margaret Gray is on the line with us. That's an interesting state of affairs, Margaret.
Well, there's no question that Joe Paterno is football in Pennsylvania, and the point that I'm making is that Joe Paterno is football across this country. Joe Paterno is the embodiment of football in the home state of football, Pennsylvania. That's where football started. That's where the greatest quarterbacks were raised and were born and raised. That's, you can't have football in America without Pennsylvania. And you can't have football in Pennsylvania without the guiding force and the strong, the strong central sense of football that is Joe Paterno.
All right, our number 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to this gentleman in Georgia. Go ahead, sir. You're on the air with Margaret Gray. What's up?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, sir. Go ahead.
Great. Yeah, I just want to comment. You know, I feel bad in a sense of what happened to Joe by him being fired. He's been there for a century. I mean, my God, 42 years. Great coach. Yeah. Probably one of the greatest coaches that ever coached the game. But being fired, my opinion, it could be wrong to say this, but I know it's going to piss a lot of people off. He deserved it. He knew what was going on for a very long time.
Can I ask you a question? Yeah. Let me ask you something. I want you to say that again very slowly. I want you to say again what you just said to me very slowly. Are you saying that he deserved it?
He deserved to be fired, yes. He was the greatest coach of all time.
Wow,
I will say that.
What does it take?
I think it takes a lot of guts to say something like that.
Well, this gentleman.
Okay, do you have a child?
I most certainly do. Yes, I do.
Okay, now, if he knew this man was raping your child, would you not want him to go to the authorities? That's all I can say.
I could say this to you, all right? And I don't know. What is your name, sir?
My name is Mark.
What is your name?
I'm a father.
I'm a mother, and I can tell you anyone that hurt my son, they would not exist as a human being much longer. I would dismember them.
Okay.
I would dismember them. I can say that to you.
Yeah.
All right. Now, having said that I would dismember them, I want to say this. Would I want Joe Paterno to go to the authorities if it meant he'd lose his job? No.
Oh, boy. Wow.
What do you mean, wow?
What?
No. Okay, I love football as much as anybody else out there. And
I love my son.
Okay, I love my son very much. Okay,
yes.
And I have as a parent, I have a daughter. And I would pretty much do what you said, that any man ever touched my daughter in the wrong way.
Exactly.
Joe knew about this, but Joe knew about this for a very long time, and he went to the school board. Hello, you go to the school board.
Yes, you're absolutely right. But it was Joe. It was Joe, and that's the thing that we're missing here. It was Joe Paterno, and that's a level up. Look, I would kill and dismember anyone that hurt my son. But if it was Joe Paterno that was molesting my son, I've got to stop and take a step back.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
No, exactly. That's what you're saying. Paul Bear Bryant, who was a whole lot better coach than Joe. I don't know if you remember Paul Bear Bryant
from
Alabama Crimson Tide.
I most certainly do remember Paul Bear Bryant, and Joe Paterno is... Pennsylvania is the home of American football.
No, we know that Pennsylvania is the home of American football. I got that. But let's just stick to this comment that you just made that I know this gentleman's taken, Mark's taken exception to, that if it was Joe Paterno molesting your son...
I'd have to at least take a step back and think it through what I was going to do.
Then I just lost all respect as a parent for you.
I beg your pardon, sir.
You just said Joe can rape your child and you will not go to the authorities, is what you were saying.
No, I did not. No, I said I'd have to take a step back and just give myself 24 hours to think it through.
24 hours to think through what? What do you need to think through?
Boy, you guys,
if Joe raped my child, I would... What you said, I would dismember the man.
You have to be careful. No, wait a minute. You're talking about Joe Paterno. Don't be careful.
No, wait a second.
Margaret,
what 24 hours?
Are you... You cannot be serious that you would do that to a man that has meant as much... Phil, I'm not saying that I would not dismember someone that hurt Jason J. Delmonico.
But if it was Joe Paterno, you'd have to take a step back?
I'm simply saying I got to give it 24 hours to think about it. What am I going to do?
Oh, my gosh. If it was him that did it to my child,
you would set fire to Joe Paterno? No.
I did not say I was set
good
fire to
God.
Him. I
good
not
God.
Be on, I would not
yeah,
be
I'm
on
saying
him.
That.
He was on fire.
Well, I can tell you something, and I'm a lady, and when we urinate, obviously, it's quite embarrassing, but I would, if Joe Paterno were on fire... And I had to squat over.
Okay, I get it, and I don't think we have to go that into that discussion.
I'm
but I'm what I'm shocked about here is that you are saying, Margaret, that Joe Paterno means so much to football—not just Pennsylvania football, but football, and not just college football, but all football in America, because he coaches in Pennsylvania, which is the matrix of football in America. You'd have to take a step back and give it a 24-hour think through. If he molested your kid. And let's keep something in mind, folks. Joe Paterno didn't molest anybody.
Absolutely, Phil. And nobody is saying that.
Oh, give me a break. Yes, everyone knows that Joe Paterno is above suspicion when it comes to that. What people are saying, what this gentleman said, is that Paterno did not act. He did not act in time. He did not go immediately to the police. We're talking about the well-being of children here. I thank you very much, Mark, for your call. 877-876-PHIL is the number. We're talking about the well-being of kids here. And when it comes to children, you don't do the bare minimum, you know.
I totally agree with you, Phil. When it comes to children, you go all the way, and you protect those children with your life. You protect those children with everything you've got. If it was my son, Phil, my God, if I had a board with nails, I would defend my child with anything. Nails. I don't care what. Knives. My teeth. My high heels. I don't care. I would defend my boy with anything.
Unless it was Joe Paterno or something that would hurt the Pennsylvania,
Penn State is the school, and I'm just asking you to have some respect. It's not Pennsylvania anything.
It's Penn State.
It's the name of the school, yeah. It's not Pennsylvania. It's Penn State.
I understand that.
Well, I mean, you're talking, Phil, about wanting to take Joe Paterno and throwing him into a prison cell or accusing him of this, that, or something else. I'm trying to get you to understand that I'm completely in agreement with you and everyone that's calling. I just, when it comes to Paterno...
So any other coach, any other adult, any other human being, it's fine.
What's fine?
You would physically assault them.
I'm saying, yes, I would say that. The only one that I'm asking people to consider in terms of giving them a little bit more of a break is Joe Paterno. When you look at what he's done, who he is, why he does what he does, why he is what he is, the school that he coaches for, the place that he lives, what he looks like, his wife. Did you see his wife crying? Did you see that lovely redhead? She is a wonderful woman, and my family has known the two of them for so many years.
What's her name?
I don't know, but she stands by him, and she was weeping. Are you telling me you're going to take that woman's husband away from her, and you're going to throw him into a yard with hardened criminals and say, by the way, the new fish, he likes little boys? Do you know what they do to guys like that in prison?
They're not saying that about Joe Paterno. We're going to take a break here. They're not saying that about Joe Paterno. They would be saying that about this Sandusky guy. That's the guy that's got to worry if he ever gets inside. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Margaret Gray about the ongoing problem at Penn State. She is in agreement. These child molesters and these child rapists need to be locked up. Joe Paterno, on the other hand, we need to take a step back because he is Joe Paterno. He's a coach in a state that gave us football, Pennsylvania. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL and Margaret Gray joining us as we talk about the Joe Paterno Penn State situation. You know, it's unfortunate, Margaret, that we are calling it the Joe Paterno situation. It's not. It's this man Sandusky, Jeff Sandusky.
Well, Phil, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
That is exactly the truth. And why it is we've made this about Joe Paterno.
But you made a comment that has to be addressed. You said if it was Joe Paterno molesting your son, you'd have to give it a 24-hour cooling off.
Phil, you're not listening to what I'm saying.
I believe that I am.
I'm saying when you have a man the stature of a Joe Paterno, what he's meant to that school, what he can do, what he's capable of, what his influence is, the people that have his back, the favors that he can call in, you really want to go down that road, huh? You want to take that chance? Well, they have already. They've gone down that road. They've made their bed, and now they're going to have to sleep in it. And I say this, Phil, again, as a great fan and a great supporter of Penn State football, God help us.
Well, I don't know what that means, you know.
I'm saying what it means is this. Joe Paterno... You know who Richard Helms was, the head of the CIA?
Yeah.
Richard Nixon was quoted once as saying, you don't F with Richard Helms. Well, you don't F with Joe Paterno.
Well, Margaret, that sounds like a threat. And
No, it's not a threat, Phil. It's a promise.
And that also sounds like a threat, and it sounds like a very childish one. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Phil here on line two. Go ahead, Phil. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray.
Phil, I've been listening to this. I'm on my way back from Montgomery. I've been listening. I've been to a football game tonight, high school, and I've been listening
yes, sir.
To this station, and that's the most absurd point of trying to look at this situation realistically of anything I've ever heard in my life. What it seems to me is that the lady, with all due respect, is saying that if a person holds a position professionally, no matter what it might be, wherein they are revered for their past and they become involved or associated to some things that they should have acted upon that are either immoral or criminal in and of themselves, that we should forget the present action based on a past reputation. That goes against...
Could I ask you to repeat that? Could you say that again?
No. I understand what the man said. He's saying, basically, Margaret...
Well, yes.
If you'll let me just finish, just 1 minute, I want to give you an analogy.
Certainly. Okay. I just was hoping that you...
Who, no matter who you're talking about, let's just put this into the play.
You can go ahead and serve.
Coach Paterno, sitting in his office, and somebody says there's a kid that is in trouble in the shower with your defense. And at what point does Paterno use his great influence?
The Chinese ambassador.
Step on the place again. That's the question.
Here it is. Joe Paterno, I think everything you're saying I agree with. If it wasn't Joe Paterno, if it was Paul Bear Bryant,
you would have to think twice about it. That's crazy.
Well, what if it was Paul Bear Bryant that was molesting your child? Wouldn't you take a step back and think, what's this going to cost me?
Oh, come on.
Number one, Bear Bryant would never have done that, no more than I believe Joe Paterno would. But if either one of them had, they would have been charged just as soon as I could have got somebody to put them in cuffs. I don't care who you are.
Well, I just don't understand that, because if you know that football was invented in Pennsylvania...
We know that football was invented in Pennsylvania. You made the statement that football wouldn't exist.
Phil, I believe I'm talking to the other Phil, not you, and you've been jumping in and jumping in. Now, Phil, you know that football...
This conversation is not about football in Pennsylvania. This conversation is about the integrity of someone knowing that something is suspicious going on and letting it die without acting upon it at the expense of innocent children. Period. Phil, I've said what I need to say.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you for your call. I appreciate the very much and taking time to call us. That gentleman is coming back from a high school football game himself in Montgomery, Alabama. And so much of what's going on... Are you near the gong now?
I'm helping out a little bit. The Chinese ambassador's arrived, Phil, and I have to make sure. Just get me... No. What's the problem? When I ring the gong, it means I want an Asian server, and I don't know where they all are. Where are they? When they hear that gong, I want Asians, not...
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's take another phone call here on line 7. We have Justin. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray.
That's kind of messed up. She let some, I don't care if it was God himself, the President of the United States, or anybody. I'm a proud father of two beautiful kids. And I wouldn't care if Joe Paterno touched him. I wouldn't give 24 hours. As soon as he touched him, I'd beat his face in, call the cops, make sure whoever knew about it got fired, couldn't even get another job. I'd get them both labeled as child molesters. That way they couldn't get jobs anywhere else.
Well, I don't think you recognize if you beat Joe Paterno's face in, he's a very powerful man. That's number one.
I don't care if he was God. What I'm saying is I wouldn't care if he was God himself. Anybody touches my kid, you're going to get...
But you want to spend...
I know he's a good coach. Okay, whoop-de-doo. But what you're forgetting about is the children involved in this. Everyone else is harping about, Joe Paterno or Jeff Sandusky. I don't care about them. It's the kids that are affected by this. Have you ever stopped and wondered, how in life are they going to cope with this? Do you ever wonder if they wake up in the middle of the night having nightmares of,
As a mother, I totally understand what you're saying. As a mother, I totally get it. And I understand that
but
you have children.
What I'm saying is, Jen, how can you be a mom if you're going to think about 24 hours of Joe Paterno touching your kid? That ain't
I'm talking about a cooling off period. We need it. You would have to have a cooling off period because Paterno, do you want to spend, I want to ask you, Justin, do you want to spend the rest of your life with a knapsack sleeping in garages, sleeping in barns, wondering when, if ever, he's going to get off your tail?
Because what are you talking about?
What I'm saying is I think Joe Paterno and Jeff Sadesky should both go to prison. Point blank being, if you touch a kid, go to prison. Point blank.
Right.
I don't care who they are. They shouldn't touch kids. If they're that low...
Well, no, wait. Now, Joe, let's be clear. Joe Paterno didn't touch any kid. And, Margaret, you're doing more damage to Joe Paterno than you can possibly do. Joe Paterno didn't touch any child, and we need to make that very, very clear. I don't want that to be... You know what I'm saying? Hey, listen, Justin, I got to move to some other calls. I appreciate very much your phone call, though, sir. I really do. Let's go to Nadine. Nadine is on the line. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, Nadine.
Hello.
Well, that man didn't make any sense at all. I said that I would kill anyone, and I would use a lawnmower blade like that retarded man in Sling Blade to do it. But if it was Joe Paterno, you need a cooling off period.
Go ahead, Nadine.
Hello. This Margaret is absolutely up the wall. Joe Paterno, he didn't do anything. That's right. But he didn't do the right thing either. And he was going to retire at the end of this year anyway, and he's 84, and now he's out. But I actually called Phil to...
So in other words, what you're saying is that he needs to be thrown in a garbage dump marked old men.
No.
I don't think so.
No. But he didn't do right, and he needs to be fired.
Did you see a sign out in front of Penn State that said old man garbage?
I don't care about Penn State, and I don't
care
about
Did you see a sign out in front of Penn State that said old man garbage dump?
Now watch it. Hold on.
I called for another reason, Phil, and that was for your young man there who wants to pronounce Michael McQuarrie as Michael McQuarrie. His name is McQuarrie.
Bud, do you know that?
Yeah, well, his name is Michael McQuarrie.
Sure, he's a distant relative of mine, and we came to this country before the
Revolutionary War. Oh, my God. You're related to that man?
And his
Tell you what, Nadine. Hold on, Nadine. Hold on. We'll be right back with you. I have to take a break here. Margaret Gray is with us, and we have other guests scheduled. Ted Bell as well. It's McQuarrie, Bud.
She said query.
No, she didn't, and I knew you'd mess it up. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to an encore presentation. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, every night here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. For those of you who are watching us on Phil TV and HD right now, behind me is the scene at Penn State this evening. This is a candlelight vigil that was taking place. And we have, by way of our Phil TV in HD access to the net, we are showing you video that was taken, obviously, amateur video taken there at this candlelight vigil by one of the participants. It was quite somber, and it sounded like the students were singing a song that I couldn't recognize the song, but they were singing a rather somber and very soft melody as they held these candles. This candlelight vigil is for the victims, the children that were molested by members, by at least one member. And I don't want it to sound like there's some, you know, but some of the stuff, some of the things that have been said over the last 24 hours, it's probably getting a little crazy that there was they were pimping these kids out. My God, all kinds of things. Margaret Gray has joined us on the line from Santa Monica tonight to talk about her family's relationship with Penn State and how important that school has been to them, and just, you know, a lot of these things that we have been wanting to bring to your attention here over the course of these many days. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Margaret, I did have this lady on the line, Nadine. I wanted to just make sure that I gave her all due
you know, all the time that she needed to say what she wanted to say. So I held her over. And I think, Nadine, hi, you were talking to Bud about the...
you were talking about how the name's McQuarrie or McQuarrie,
tell
forget.
Bud, tell Bud if he will spell it McQuarrie and pronounce it McQuarrie, he'll be okay.
Yeah, but that's not... Did they change it at Ellis Island?
No. We came way before Ellis Island. We came from the Western Isles of Scotland. And our name was McQuarrie, McQuarrie.
They didn't change it to McQuarrie?
Nope.
No.
No, but down through the years, down through the years, people who couldn't read or write, they changed it a little bit. Okay? But in... In 1780, Wilkes County, North Carolina, it was spelled correctly on a lot of documents, but it wasn't on the census. The census had it Q-U-E-R-R-Y.
We need plumb line for the investor.
It depends.
I'm having, can I just say one thing?
Honey,
I'm having a dinner.
I don't want to talk to you because I think
I know
crazy.
That. I'm having a dinner for the Chinese ambassador. That's how crazy I am.
Yeah, well, I don't care about your Chinese ambassador either. I only care about these kids. And the other thing is, once they found out about it, and are you still there, Phil?
I'm here, yeah.
Okay. Yes, and I am too, the guest.
Once they found out about it, what did they do? They told him he couldn't bring any of the kids back over to their shower. And he started all of this in 1977. I wonder how many other kids were taken care of before
1903. Well, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I got that out of the newspaper, dear. That's the only place I can get it.
Well, can I say something? You know, you may not care, but because I'm hosting the Chinese ambassador tonight, I think I know a little bit more about what's going on.
Oh, I don't think so, dear. You only care about football. You don't care about the boys.
That's kind of what we're getting here, Margaret.
You know what? I'm trying to educate you. I'm trying to educate this woman. I'm trying to get the Chinese ambassador and his wife situated. And
I think you better go take care of your Chinese ambassador.
He's not my Chinese ambassador, dear. He's the ambassador of the Chinese people. He's visiting our country. And you seem to think that Joe Paterno should be thrown into an old man death camp.
No, he
well,
was
we got rid of those in 1945. Thank you.
He was going to retire at the end of this year. He already said so.
We got rid of those in 1945. Thank you.
Oh, come on, Margaret. That is a hideous and asinine comparison.
Well,
an old man death camp.
Yes. And
thank you very much, Nadine.
I've heard her on here a lot, and she always gets carried away.
No, I'm not getting carried away. The problem is I have information that you don't.
I don't think so. Bye, Phil.
I'm hearing that gong going off, and you need to get the Chinese ambassador situated.
The gong is we need a way to listen to her laughing. You wish.
Thank you very much, ma'am. 877-876-PHIL. Is the number here as we talk with Margaret Gray about this situation, Joe Paterno. So what she basically said there, you know what...
Well, what she basically said there was this, blah, 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 blah. That's what she said. It didn't really add up to anything. 1977, where is she buying her medicine? And who is prescribing it? And then the next question is, why? Who? Thank you. The Vietnamese ambassador? Thank you.
Okay, Margaret, we need to move on here. Let's get another phone call on the line here. 877-876-PHIL. And I think I have, let's see. Well, now I forget who I've got here. Stan, is this? This is Stan. Hi, Stan, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
How are we doing, sir? I'm really confused by what's going on with Margaret there. I don't understand her perspective, maybe.
Where exactly are we going?
Well, what do you want me to do? You want me to? Do I have to go through it again?
Say again? I'm sorry.
Do you want me to go through it again? I've explained it many, many times.
I'd really rather you didn't. It's a little upsetting. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Do you have children?
Yes, I do. I have a son.
You do?
Sorry. Yeah.
So you'd rather...
Sorry.
So you're...
Are you... You must have a wife there. Is that your wife or... announcing the Vietnamese ambassador. Okay, is this man going...
Okay, guys, you need to be on the line with me or not. What are you doing there, Stan? Okay, thanks a lot. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to Roy. Hi, Roy. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Fine.
All right, great. Margaret, I just had a question to ask you. I just want to, you know, see your perspective. I heard what you had to say, but it's one quick question. If somebody came up to you and had told you that somebody had been following their child and came to you and it was your neighbor, let's say, would you not go to the authorities?
It was what?
If somebody had told you that that they'd been, you know, molesting little children, would you go to the authorities yourself personally if somebody gave you that kind of information?
If they came up to me and confessed to me that they'd been molesting children?
Yes. Would
I'd say to them, why didn't you go to the police with that information? Why are you talking to me about it?
Maybe they just want to, you know, because they're scared and they don't know what to do, so they go to you.
Well,
and
my point has always been the same point. I don't think I've deviated. I would immediately go to the police. Immediately.
Okay, so you answered my question already. Okay, you answered my question. So,
okay.
Regardless of with that, football is not more important than children. Let's get that straight. Football is just
and
another way for children
the best.
To grow.
Gentlemen.
And so it was up to me.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry. What I wanted to say
again?
Is that, you know, I feel bad for Joe Pa. You know, I like the guy. But, you know, he should have done more. But at the same time, we grew up in a society where we don't know to call 911. He, you know, and at the same time, maybe we should make this a law that if somebody reports a heinous crime to you, that you should report it. And if not, you're going to get sent to jail.
Well, I think in the case of Joe Pa, I don't think we should have to do that. I think that we either know what a either you know that molesting a child is bad or you don't. If you have to make
well,
a law
we
to
don't.
Remind people... Huh?
No, we don't, because they didn't do it. If they did, they would...
What do you mean, they? No, not they. That ass McCleary and that other jackass, they didn't.
Well, what about this guy Paterno?
That's another case.
How is that
he
different?
Is of a
this
different...
Is a, this is,
he's
this
a different
is
class
smart.
Of human being.
Nobody... No. We're all the
what
same.
What did you do? Did
we
you just change your phone?
No, sorry. I put it on speaker. I apologize. But,
I'm saying that, you don't pass a law to remind people that molesting children is a bad thing. People that don't know that need to have their asses beaten until they do know it. Now, Joe Paterno, though, on the other hand...
That's wrong. We shouldn't do that.
Well, Well, we're not going to pass a law to remind you to do the right thing. It's not going to happen. I won't stand for
it.
You
know?
It was two jackasses in Pennsylvania.
No.
Well, I have to agree with Margaret on this. I have to agree with Margaret on that. If we start passing laws to remind people what the right thing is to do, then we don't have a country anymore. Otherwise, you're going to start passing all kinds of laws to remind people to be human beings. Then we don't have human beings in this country. We might as well disband the country. But, Margaret, your point about Joe Pa being a different story...
He's a cut above. He's a cut above the rest.
Who?
That's what I'm saying.
Who? The rest?
You and me. The normal human being.
You?
Yes. He's better than you.
So you're saying he's better than me.
He's better than... Yes, he is.
And he helped get people
molested. We didn't
just touch
football.
He
helped
molest children.
Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
Yes. Millions of dollars that also...
Millions of dollars that you could never raise in your life. You would never... You couldn't raise carfare.
Well, you know what? I will.
Boy, that's a real.
That. I'm going to.
You know, one thing about this gentleman, at least he hasn't molested children.
Joe Paterno hasn't molested children. He's raised millions of dollars.
No, but he is responsible for children.
And this gentleman here couldn't cash in bottles to get a pack of cigarettes.
I have a little bit more money.
Okay.
Than that. I probably have more money than you.
Wow.
But it doesn't matter. That doesn't matter.
I doubt it.
The fact is that children.
I have the Chinese ambassador at my home this evening.
So, I can have the president tomorrow if I want to. Who cares? It doesn't matter.
No, you can't. What do you mean you can have the president tomorrow? No, you can't.
Well, you don't know who you're talking to. Maybe he can.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking to a football coach over here who actually talks to children every day and tries to tell them the right thing every single day. And there's people like
and
you.
Okay, when you tell them the right thing to do, do you tell them, now here's how to take your pants off. I'm kidding.
What a sick thing to say.
Wow, look at this lady. Wow, this is America, baby. This is the reason why we are this way, is because people like
Are you saying that's what you do?
No, you're making the sickest joke.
When you talk to kids every... Are you telling kids every day, I'm Coach So-and-so, here's how to get your shorts off.
I tell the children to be respectful, to tell the truth. If there's something going on, to go to their superiors and we will handle it. If something
And I agree with you, but I'm saying when it comes to Joe Paterno, we've got to take a step back and say, this is going to mean a lot, because if you get on the wrong side of that man, guess
then
what?
Where does it stop from
they're
going to
find you floating. They'll find you floating
like
face down in your own swimming
pool. Okay.
Well, I don't know where you're coming from with that. That sounds like some jive-ass mafia stuff. Anyway, listen, I thank you very, very much, sir, for your call, Roy.
Thanks
a lot.
Thank you, and have a good one, Mark.
All right, brother. You too, man. 877-876-PHIL.
No, he said to me, have a good one. He didn't say that to you.
I know that.
All I'm trying to do, Phil, is get the... I'm trying to be clear. What's going on here? If he says to me, have a good one, and you go, yeah, thanks a lot, and you're blowing me off...
I'm not blowing anybody off. I'm trying to get to my break. Please hang on. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back with more from Margaret Gray. And we're going to have Ted Bell along as well to talk more about the Joe Paterno Penn State situation here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL is the number as we continue with Margaret Gray here for a few more minutes talking about the Penn State situation. Margaret, you had a comment you wanted to make about Richard Mansfield, the actor?
Yes, Phil, because I saw the picture of Richard Mansfield on your video cast. Richard Mansfield was such a great actor. He was an American actor that was on the stage in New York and Boston, and he brought to London his version of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Now, the book had been out very, very shortly, but he created the characters of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde on the stage in London and was so brilliant at transforming himself into this Mr. Hyde character that at one time it is true that Richard Mansfield had to actually answer questions of the London police as to his whereabouts because of the Jack the Ripper.
I heard about that.
Yes. That's how good an actor he was. And I think what's going on here, there's a lot of people acting more outraged than they should because they know that Joe Paterno is the big boy on the block. He's the big boy on the block. He's the bad boy. You don't... hold on for just a moment, Phil. It'll only take a second. Ladies and gentlemen, the Chinese ambassador. Yeah, put him anywhere.
How many times?
What?
How many times does this guy show?
Well, what is so funny?
How many times has this guy show?
How many times has he shut up? What?
How many times has this guy come to your house?
Who?
The Chinese ambassador. You've introduced him 3 or 4 times.
Well, then who was that? Billy says some Chinaman. Don't say that. Don't say something. The Cambodian, is it a Cambodian? It was a Cambodian. I'm sorry.
Well, don't apologize to me. Apologize to the poor man that just was introduced as the Chinese ambassador. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. We've got a couple of calls we want to get to. They've been very, very patient. This is Richard. Richard, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray as we talk about Penn State.
Hi, Phil, Margaret. I just called to make a comment, and I told Phil when I first called, I was having a hard time deciphering whether this was a comedy show or not, because I seriously could not believe that this woman was this naive about the joke.
Why would I joke about molested children? I don't find that funny at all.
Exactly. Here's my comment. If you're saying Joe Paterno is so powerful and can make a phone call to have somebody swimming face down in a swimming pool, why couldn't he make a phone call to the Pennsylvania State Police about somebody molesting children? We teach our children, even at a young age, if you have a problem, if you're lost in the street, go find the police. If someone is doing wrong, go find the police. And you're telling me a man who's 84 years old didn't know the difference to call the police? That's my question, Phil.
No, I'm not saying that. What I think is happening here is a rush to judgment. Let's go back to that week. Let's go back to the week that happened in 2002. Who were they playing? Okay. What game was it?
And what difference does it make what game?
Hold on, Phil, will you please?
What difference does that make?
If he's getting ready for Ohio State or for Michigan State, his mind is somewhere else, right? So now you take a man and you say, all right, a child has been molested. Now, understand, this was brought to him by an assistant coach. What did the coach say? This assistant coach, did he say, oh, by the way, Coach Paterno, a man was raping a child in the shower? Or did he say, Sandusky's up to his old tricks?
Well, what does that mean, Sandusky's up to his old tricks?
I don't know how it was put to Coach Paterno. What are you laughing at, sir?
Let's say he told him he's up to his old tricks. Okay, now what?
Well, then Paterno goes. Look, you guys, I'm not going to make excuses for Joe Paterno. I think both of you guys know where I stand. And
well, that's exactly what you're doing. You're making every excuse you can possibly make for Paterno.
I started out by saying that Joe Paterno, he's a different bird. This guy is real abstract. All right, you just don't take a Joe Paterno outside and say you're fired and think it isn't going to come back to visit you time and again.
What's he going to do?
What's that?
What is he going to do? He's fired now.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. What's his last name? Paterno. Ends with a vowel. Figure it out. Ah.
Because he's Italian-American, I'm supposed to sweat bullets?
Not you, no.
Who, then? Are you saying that the regents at the school are going to sweat bullets because the guy's Italian-American, so he's mobbed up or connected? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Well, Phil, don't start talking like you know what you're talking about, you know.
No, but you're the one that's bringing up this mafia stuff.
So now I'm being laughed at.
This is completely insane to me because even if
you've never heard
Joe Paterno's level, Michael McCreary, he had the first level of responsibility to go report it. But
you did pronounce it right, McCreary, which is exactly what he is. Not queer as in homosexual, a queer bird.
Okay, we get the queer bird's dad. He had the next level of responsibility.
He should have called. Absolutely. I don't think that. Yeah, thank you very much, Richard, for your call. 877-876. Phil, I don't think we're dealing with, you talk about abstract, I don't think we're talking about anything here that is all that difficult to figure out. Percy, go ahead, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, how you doing, Phil?
I'm good, sir. Hi. Oh, you know what, Percy, just hang on the line here and I'll be right with you. We have to take a very quick break here. Margaret, I appreciate you being with us tonight.
No, I don't think so, Phil. I think this is another opportunity for you to take my words that are rooted in Pennsylvania tradition and turn them around on me. Every time I hear that, I know that.
You're listening to an encore presentation.
World famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And again, if you are watching Phil TV in HD, you can see a candlelight vigil that was held there. We were just showing it briefly on the screen at Penn State. And I thought it was very lovely. I didn't see much of it, just what was what we were able to grab for you to show to you. Margaret, you wanted to make a comment on that before we get back to our calls?
I do, Phil, and I'm the information that I have, and again, I say this to you, and I say it with the greatest of respect. I do have a little more information than you, because of my status as an ex, as a member of the alumni. That was a candlelight vigil for Joe Paterno. And
no, that was not. That my information was that was a candlelight vigil for the children that were assaulted.
No, Phil, not that they're not planning one, and I know that they are planning. That was the students getting together and showing their sorrow at what happened and how it happened and how repeatedly it happened to Joe Paterno. So I don't know where you're getting your information.
That group of students that were having the candlelight vigil that I just witnessed and that my audience is looking at right now was for the, I was told, for the victims of this horrible violence committed by this guy Sandusky.
Phil, I'm not saying that that would not be appropriate, and I think it would be very appropriate. But those candles that are lit right there are for Joe Pa. It's a candlelight vigil of students saying, why did you do this to him? Why? Why? Why would you?
Well, you've been getting a lot of reasons from a lot of very good people on my show here this evening as we talk about this. It hasn't been a mystery. We'll go back to the gentleman that we left on the line, Percy. And you go ahead, Percy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. I'm sorry we put you on hold. What's your comment?
Okay, Margaret, what you have to understand is that Joe Pa didn't get fired for what he did, but what he did not do. You know, you have to understand that at least from 2002, at the very least, that he had knowledge of a crime, one of the most heinous crimes that a person could possibly commit, you know. And he's in a profession where he's been charged with the lives of kids for over 40-something-odd years. Now, you know, and with the knowledge of that crime, think about how many kids he could have saved since 2002, you know, from going through this traumatic experience. And at the very least now, he could possibly get charged criminally as more information comes out with an obstruction of justice charge, or even maybe as a co-conspirator, because he did not go to the authorities and report such crime going on. You know, that's the law in this country. You know, if you have knowledge of you have a duty to report it.
I totally agree with you, and I would encourage any American citizen to follow that obvious line of good citizenship and the support of the law. But again, we are talking about Joe Paterno. Okay.
Is Joe Paterno any better than any hardworking American who has a family who raises their kids? Is Joe Paterno any better than the kids that have been in and out of his program throughout the years who made him famous? He's been entrusted.
Is he better?
In the lives
no,
parents have entrusted.
Is he better? No, he's not. Is he more valuable? Yes.
For years. And he has knowledge of a crime going on against the very kids that he's been entrusted to and did not go to the authorities. And how
let
many?
Let me say this. I have the Cambodian ambassador at my home this evening. If Joe Paterno came to the door, I'd have to say
more indictments are coming
Joe
out.
Paterno.
And how many more kids do we know, you know, that we don't know about?
God knows what's going to happen. I mean, we have no idea. And I don't know, Percy, to your point that you're making, Percy, if you hold on for just a second, I read last night that there could be some, and that nobody's, I haven't seen any evidence, but they have said that there could be some kind of a pimp-out ring, is the way they put it, which is a horrifying way to say it.
I'm out pimping the kids out. And then you got to look at Phil, since 1977, in 1977, Sandusky founded the Second Mile Foundation. So he's
he did.
Been through thousands of kids. How many victims does he really have? This could be a serious pedophile.
You know, you guys are talking about this like you're rubbing your hands together like you're cooking a cake or something.
You know,
oh
he's
my goodness.
To be the heir apparent to Joe Paterno, but because in 1998, when these allegations first came up, he was forced to step down in 1999. Then McCrary caught him in 2002, told Joe Paterno. Joe Paterno only went to his AD.
Right.
Now,
and Margaret, your argument is that Joe Paterno is so special.
Joe Paterno, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do all we could do to protect children, but Joe Paterno is the center of football. He is ground zero of football in America. You fire him and disgrace him and run him out of town on a rail, and my God, the NFL is next.
But at what point does football? At what point does football?
Well, you must not be a football fan.
President,
you must not be a football fan.
I'm a huge sports fan. I'm a football fanatic. But at what point?
The Grand Raj of India.
Over life.
Yeah, good points. All right, listen, Percy, very good points, sir, and I appreciate it very much. Good points that gentleman made, and he's obviously very well-versed in this case. And
I don't dispute what the man's saying. It's possible that, and this man's Sandusky. This guy's Sandusky. That's the guy right there, Sandusky. Say the name and say it again. Just like at the beginning of 1984, say the name, Goldstein. I think we should say the name Sandusky. He's the one, Sandusky. Hey. You know, did you see the film, Phil, 1984?
Yes, I did.
That's the name we should be chanting, not Paterno. And look, if
Joe Paterno's guilty of obstructing justice, as that man said, of not reporting this crime, of... look at those clowns at that Jack Ball, who's the president of the university, that Spaniard guy, and these the rest of these guys. I mean, I don't know what planet these guys are coming from. How do you, and that McQuarrie guy, how do you watch a man assaulting a child and not yell at the guy or tell him to get off the kid or do whatever you can do to keep this horrible thing from happening? All right, let's move on and get to a couple more calls here on the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. This is Jeff, I believe. Jeff, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hey, Jeff.
Yes.
Yeah, you're on the air, sir. Go ahead.
Hello. Hey, Margaret.
Yes, sir.
I got something to ask you. Why are you kissing Joe Paterno's ass?
I'm not kissing Joe Paterno's ass.
Joe Paterno is the center of football.
Do you know where football was invented? Pennsylvania.
Oh, who
the head
was
coach
football?
Of Penn State.
Okay, we're not talking
Joe Paterno.
We're talking human rights here. He, for the integrity of his college, turned his back on what he saw. Now, any human being that saw something like that going on would react in a violent mode and kill that guy and protect that child, take that child and call the authorities and have that sick bastard arrested. Now, you're kissing Joe Paterno.
I'm a mother, so believe me, I would do exactly what you said.
Well, Joe Paterno. Joe Paterno, I'm sick of hearing you kiss his ass. Who is this guy?
If you don't know who Joe Paterno is, you've got real problems.
He turned his back on a violent act to a child. What kind of man is he, okay? I don't care who you think he is. You think he's almighty? In my book, he's nothing but a piece of crap, okay?
You need to explain to this guy who Joe Paterno is.
You know what? Quit kissing
his
ass.
You don't. That you not knowing who Joe Paterno
he's
is like saying you don't know who Joe Thomas Jefferson is.
I hope
do you know who Abraham Lincoln was?
Do you know
who George Washington was? Do you know who Vince Lombardi was?
Will you knock it off? Hey, put your
do
feet
you know
on
who
the earth.
Any of these
listen
people
to
are?
Me. Put your feet.
I've been
on
listening.
The earth.
Oh, I've been listening to your panic, and I'm asking you to calm down.
Listen,
sound like a schoolgirl. You sound like a schoolgirl.
Joe Paterno turned his back on a child being violated, okay? Anybody who does that should serve time in prison, okay? He's
King of Canada.
I don't care how high and mighty you think he is. What he did is a
He's high and mighty. I just said, all right,
he's
I tell you what you do.
Now.
You go ahead and put him in jail and watch what happens.
What's he, a big mafioso boss? Well, I'll tell you what, if he is, the mafia is going to cut his head off for what he did.
Yeah, there's a good point. You don't think, I don't think that Joe Paterno, we have to be clear, Joe Paterno did not commit any overt act. He went to the university, but he did not, it was a crime of omission, a sin of omission, if you will, and didn't, and as this gentleman said, and rightfully so, there's no basic requirement when we're talking about violence to children. You have to do everything that you can. Okay,
yes.
What makes you think that Joe Paterno...
Joe Paterno, I didn't say anything other than this. You go ahead and go after Joe Paterno, and
I'm
you're going to find your dog. You're
going to
find your dog swinging from a noose.
I'm not going after.
Oh, right.
Anybody? Joe Paterno is just a name to me. I don't know the guy. I don't care about Penn State football. I'm talking about human rights. I'm talking about a child, children that are violated. They're going to live with that the rest of their life. Who's Joe Paterno? He's 85. He don't care. He's going to die.
He's going to die
well,
with
absolutely.
That in 15 years.
You know what? And do you want him to die with that on your conscience? Do you want him to die?
Well, on my conscience.
No.
There ain't nothing on my conscience. You know what's on his conscience? Turning his back on that poor child that was getting molested.
Right. Right.
Okay? He has to live with that.
Paterno, but he also
Who's
said, pray for those children.
You're just kissing his ass for some stupid-ass reason. You think he's
well,
almighty.
Because
you know what?
I know he's football, and you don't, which I find very unusual. I can't talk to a man that is screaming like a girl.
Well,
ladies
you know
and
what?
Gentlemen, the king
I'm
of
a
Mexico.
Man. I'm a man, and you know what? I'm a real man, and I respect children, and I do have
right.
children. You know
well,
what?
Then you would join me. You would join me in my petition, and my petition to say that Joe Paterno needs a 48-hour cool-off.
A 48-hour cool-off.
Listen to
All right.
Her,
thanks
Phil.
For.
Phil,
yeah.
Check her
thanks.
Out.
Thanks for.
Come on.
Thanks very much, sir.
Well, you know, you can go ahead.
I gotta, you know, just cut that off. 877-876 Phil. I apologize, Margaret, for dumping you like that, but I've got to take a break, and we got to, you know, get to some other business that we have to get to. We have people hanging on the line, but I have to say, Margaret, if you're listening to me on hold, and I'll discuss this with you when we come back, you need to open your ears up a little bit here. And this stuff about if you mess with Joe Paterno, you'll find your dog hanging from a noose. We'll be back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hi, welcome back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Margaret, I've been listening to you hitting that gong.
I'm not hitting the gong, Phil. I've got a staff of people here, and I've got a house full of guests, and we are introducing guests as they come through. We have had, as you know, the ambassador from China. I can't keep track of these people. Someone said that's an emperor from what?
President.
Frank thinks it's the president of Siam.
And there's no Siam anymore. There's no Siam.
Well, what is Frank?
It's Thailand.
It's Thailand, Frank.
I don't know.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Margaret, back to this business with Joe Paterno. Is anybody making any inroads here with you? Is anybody making a dent here that for all of the great and the glamour and the marvelous things that Joe Pa, as he has called, and I have not heard that, just to show you how insular I am out here on the West Coast from East Coast football culture, I had not heard that nickname until now.
Well, then obviously you don't follow college football.
No, I don't follow college football, but I have to tell you, I don't know that anybody that I know who is a college football fan. I think it's very specific to Penn State.
Well, it might be, Phil, but you can see with a nickname like that how beloved he is of us and we of him and he of us and we are one. And to simply take him from us and cast him into the street, and you saw his wife. Did you see that woman crying?
I did, and I felt very bad for her. I felt very bad for her. I mean, these are two people at that point in life that should be enjoying their golden years, that should be enjoying the marvelous retirement that the two of them can have. God knows they probably had a wonderful life together. And now this.
Absolutely, Phil.
All right, and it's a terrible thing, but these are things that are brought on not by the fickle finger of fate or an airplane engine dropping through the ceiling and killing us or any of these other terrible things, the slings and arrows, as Shakespeare said. This was something that he did. By his own hand, by his own action.
And I'm saying that Joe Pa is entitled to some mistakes that you and I are not entitled to.
Well,
I'm saying that his accomplishments in life entitle him, yes, if he came to my home, give me the gong ringer, whatever you call it, give me that mallet. If he came to my home, he'd hear this. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Paterno. That's what I think of him.
Great, Margaret. That's you're a cheering section of one.
877-876-PHIL.
No, I most certainly am not. No, you're not getting away with that. You're not going to make a. You're not going to throw a hand grenade like that and then, oh, let's go to a phone call. No, I am not. There are a lot of people that feel the way I do.
Fine, then I haven't heard from one of them tonight. 877-876-PHIL. Here is, I believe it's Paul. Paul?
Hello?
You're on the air. No, this is Jeff, right?
Yeah. But they told me.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, I'm gonna need.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Real quick. Can I get this lady's full name, the city she lives in, and the name?
My name is Margaret Gray. I live in Santa Monica, California.
Just a second, got Margaret Gray. In California.
I'm in Santa Monica, California.
What's wrong with this guy?
Hold on, bud.
You got a tough time at talk or something?
Hold on, bud.
I've got cerebral palsy, sir.
What? Oh, you got cerebral palsy? No, I had an accident on my motorcycle. I got a plate in my head, so I know how.
Yeah, it's.
Well, it's not the same thing.
I actually want a plate in my head. I've got Tourette syndrome, too.
Really?
Anyway, yeah. It sucks, man. But what's interesting is...
when I went over the side of a motorcycle.
Okay, can we,
Oh, my God. What are you doing here now? Is this Freaks Part 3?
That's uncalled
this
for.
This is the part where I call CPS on you. Don't you get it? I'm going to have to say this to you, and I'll only say it once.
If you don't have a drill bucket nearby, someone's going to be real angry tomorrow.
All right, I'm sorry. You just listen. I've worked for the California school system, okay? I took an oath to protect children. I took an oath where if I hear a parent say it's okay for them to molest their children, I have to act. Do you get what I'm saying?
Do you think that you are going to turn me in to the bulls?
Yeah.
Is that what you think?
I'm calling Child Protection Services in the morning, ma'am. And
my name is Margaret.
Now.
And his name is Jason J. Delmonico. Let me tell you something. I haven't met a guy in a wheelchair yet that can take
me down.
Okay, easy. Easy, Margaret.
No.
And you know what? What you said, Margaret.
Sir.
Well, what's your name, miss?
It's a man, okay? And his name
is
Jeff.
Pullet, by the way.
It's pull what? You
Pullet.
Said Pullet?
P-O-E-T, someone who rhymes. A style of writing you can't comprehend, I'm sure.
Well, I'll tell you this much. Joe Paterno, I want you to think about that.
Has never saved a life, has never really taught a child. He plays a game that in the end doesn't matter. Okay, it doesn't.
Well, I beg to differ. I think it means a lot to a lot of people. And you don't like football. You know why? Because you can't play it.
You know, Margaret, you are really low. You know that?
I'm not talking about Madden. I'm not talking about going online. The reason why you're angry, and a lot of people like you are angry, if you had your way, you'd put chicken wire, invisible, you'd put fishing line across the football field so that when the players ran down the field, they'd be decapitated.
You'd have Tourette's for a day. If I had my rage, you would have full-blown as horses and get Tourette's for a week and not
get
any medication. That's why I wish for you, people like you.
Did I hear Bud Dickman say that? I think that'd be great. You want me to have Tourette's syndrome so that when I walk up to the ambassador from China, I call him Chinaman.
I'm worried about schizophrenia.
Jeff, thank you, sir. And Margaret,
you know, Phil, I swear to God, I hope you die screaming.
Yeah,
Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, you're listening to an encore presentation.